In the past 40 years, so much has changed in the outdoor industry and in the outdoor community. Just even in the last decade that we've done Hike Like a Woman, so much has changed. And I got a little bit of perspective on that. I was fortunate to get to speak with Pat several weeks ago about some of the changes that have occurred for the better for women in the outdoor industry. And Pat is an amazing woman who has had this incredible career, everything from leading 4-H groups to starting an organization called the Trail Sisters and climbing the Grand Canyon. And I sat down with Pat and we talked about her presentation at our upcoming virtual summit. And I'm sure you've heard about it by now, but if you haven't, we're doing a conference. We're hosting a conference. I have 43 amazing speakers from all walks of life who are coming to share their stories and their experiences with you. And if you want to learn more about our summit, please head to our website, hikelikeawoman.com. And if you want to learn more about Pat, who you're about to listen to, head on over to hikelikeawoman.com and check out all of our speaker bios. But for now, I will let you be inspired by my conversation with Pat. So let's start off by talking a little bit about how you grew up. In your bio, you said that you grew up as a Kansas farm girl. Mm-hmm. So how did you get into outdoor adventure when you kind of grew up on a farm?
Right. Well, like I mentioned, you know, my experience growing up was walking out in the pastures, following the cow trails, out in the climbing trees, ravines. All right. So fast forward. My degree is in home economics education, community services. So extension. Are you familiar with extension services?
Yeah, I live in a university town and we have an extension office that does like gardening and cookbooks and all sorts of cool things.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's my career. I started out as an extension home economist, but I worked with both adults and youth. And so in those early years of my career, and I started in 74, so that's a long time ago, we had residential 4-H camps, you know, go for 4 days, 3 nights, cabins, no air conditioning. I loved it. I loved the programming. I loved the opportunity to work with kids and adults in that kind of an environment, getting away from it all. All right. So several years later, couple positions later, I was the district 4-H specialist for Northwest Oklahoma, which means 19 counties. And coordinated several educational programs, conferences, did a lot of training, teens and adults. And we were looking for an opportunity to keep older kids in 4-H. They hit a high school, they start looking at other opportunities that are out there. So what can we do to keep older kids in 4-H, in particular, the boys? Which is interesting. All right. So I happened to be, I took a group of extension agents. We went to the National Camping Conference. It was in Houston. And a presentation that was given to our group, 4-H group, we had a pre-conference. 4-H professionals, we had the speaker from the Felmont Adventure Base in New Mexico, Paul Carr, and Lloyd Knudsen. He's the program director and then the overall director. Those two gentlemen, and they issued the invitation at that point. That was 1981. That we would like to open our doors to non-scout groups to come to Philmont. So tell me more, you know, about my adventure-based programming. And there were a couple of us there, and I thought, wow, this could be it. This could be it.
Yeah.
So I came back to Oklahoma, gathered up some of my colleagues, and said, okay, this is what I know. This is what I don't know. Is this something that we could, you want me to research this out? So, yes. So I had the support of my colleagues. I went out to Philmont that summer with my family, spent a week with those two gentlemen and their staff learning about adventure programming, how to train to go. Have this kind of an experience. And I thought, oh, wow, we can do this. So I absorbed as much as I could, went back and you know, learned as much more, that put out the word. And lo and behold, that next year we took a total of 48 of us, which is four crews, to Philmont. The first year was in 82. And I was hooked. I was hooked. I could just envision this as an experience of a lifetime, you know, where we learn so much, and without going into, you know, what we learn. I mean, the teamwork, you build a community, you build a crew, the leadership opportunities, decision-making process, everything, and finding, as much as anything, finding out more about who I am deep inside each of the kids and each of the adults. And so that was the beginning. And like I said, I was hooked. And so what I think is interesting, in those early years, here we were coming in with co-ed crews, mm-hmm. to what had been basically, you know, all male environment. Yeah. There were a few females, other mm-hmm. explorer posts, perhaps. So we were in the minority. We females were in the minority. I had adult leaders, volunteers from all across the country, as I, you know, visited with them and encountered them. Some were very open and embraced us. Yeah. Others, like, women don't belong in the outdoors. You know, you shouldn't be here. Not only 4-H shouldn't be here, but females shouldn't be here. And so, of course, maybe that just stiffened my backbone a little bit more. Like, and so the Wild West was settled. How, you know, part of the picture. And I've always said I come from pioneer stock. So, you know, yeah, we females have a place in everywhere. So that was at the beginning. But we embraced that. We dealt with it with positive attitudes, and just know that. That was a big change for others in that kind of setting. And over time, not a problem. And now, of course, we know that, you know, it's a different situation for the Boy Scout program. Their membership has changed. And of course, we 4-H youth benefited from that. Ironically, Oklahoma was the only one that had crews that went to Philmont. I was here. I was at this national meeting, and there were, I don't know how many of us, 100 or 220, I don't know. But I don't know. The spark didn't hit them like it hit me, as far as getting started. So that's a long-winded response to being a Kansas girl whose only tent experience was throwing the farm truck over the clothesline in the backyard. Like I said, I was hooked. I was hooked.
Pat, you're a trailblazer. You really are a trailblazer for women in the outdoors. You paved the path for us to follow. I mean, this is 40 years ago. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but you really, what you did was really special. And you talked a little bit about, like, the transformation that you saw in the kids that you were working with and taking mm-hmm. on experiences, but you talked about a transformation that occurred in yourself too. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about what that felt like?
For me personally?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I found out that I could endure more than I ever thought possible. Endure being mentally, yeah. physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah.
I dug, you know, there were times when you dig deep, like, I will survive this. I will survive this trip. Uh-huh. I will survive dealing with teens who are challenging.
Yeah.
One of my probably truly a life-changing impact on me was my first time to go to the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. That would have been in 85. So I hadn't been doing this very long.
Yeah.
But I went on a spring break trip with OSU students. At that time, I was working at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. spring break trip, outdoor adventure program, said, hey, we're going to the Grand Canyon. I had just gone through a divorce. I had had some major other things going on in my life. I'm going to go. I'm going to go do this. And this trip is for me. And the trails that we went on, Hermit and Boucher Trail at the far west end of the Grand Canyon. One of the roughest, toughest trails those who have experienced have said. And I know, as I went down that 9 miles going into the canyon, I don't know how many times I sang the Lord's Prayer. I will do this. So it was a rough trip going down, fully loaded.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody, there were 12 of us and I didn't know anybody, but anyway, that evening we're sitting around the campground and one of the rocks formations or layers of earth, mm-hmm. as you go down the canyon is Vishnu's schist. Mm-hmm. Vishnu's schist. So my story is I was sitting on this 2 billion year old pile of schist and S-C-H-I-S-T. Okay. And I was serious, like, oh my gosh, in 5 days, I have to get out of here. I can't afford the helicopter rescue, but I've got to figure out a way to do this. So psychologically, my approach to it was, okay, as I came down into the canyon, the earth aged.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when I leave the canyon in 5 days, the earth becomes younger. Therefore, so shall I.
Okay. Oh,
so that's what kept me going. Okay, one step at a time. Mm-hmm. I can do this. So that really, I mean, from then on, I felt like I could do and accomplish whatever I wanted to,
Yeah.
It really gave me the backbone was always there, but it really strengthened my backbone. Grit, perseverance, focus and enjoy.
Yeah.
Embrace what all I got to see and do along the way.
You do not. I love in my mind as you were talking, I haven't done the Grand Canyon. It's on my list, of course. I have so many things on my list, but I'm envisioning kind of rock bottom here at the bottom of the Grand and 1 foot in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other,
mm-hmm.
get to the top.
Yep.
Such a powerful story.
Yeah. Well, and that last day, I asked our trip leader if I could start out ahead of everybody else because I knew I would be slow. I was the mature woman. All right. The rest were college students. There were a couple of other guys about my age.
Yeah.
But so I did. I started out about an hour and a half before the others. So that gave me the opportunity for that mm-hmm. solitary hike experience. Processing, everything along the way. I wasn't the last one out of the canyon. I wasn't, there were college students behind me, which I was so fired up psychologically at the end of that. It's about a 24-hour trip, 22-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up driving most of the way. I was so, I was pumped. Yeah. Everybody else conked out. They were like, oh man, I'm beat. I'm bruised. I was flying. I was flying pretty high. Yeah. That natural high.
You had so much adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Oh, Pat, you're so cool. Tell me about the Trail Sisters. You mentioned the Trail Sisters in your bio. Who are the Trail Sisters?
Okay. Well, it's a group, all these women that I've hiked with or canoed with or whitewater rafted with in the adventure. I coordinated the 4-H high adventure program in Oklahoma, Virginia, and Kansas for quite a few years. And these are all women that I have shared an experience with. They were volunteers. I was the coordinator, paid staff. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, they were all volunteers. Some of them had their own kids involved with the program. Most of them did not. And so, I don't know. We it's friendships that developed over the years. And I've kept in contact with them. And Facebook was a good way. But, reconnecting with those. Yeah. And so the Trail Sisters, when the story behind how I formed the group, it was the beginning of COVID. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, an ad showed up, some Merrill's pair of shoes, hiking trail shoes, and multicolored. They were really cool. If you go to the Merrill website and dig, you'll see Trail Sisters shoes. All right.
Oh, okay. Merrill. Cool.
But when that ad showed up and that picture, and I saw that, I go, oh, those are the coolest trail shoes ever. And if I got a pair of those, maybe I could get back on the trail again. Now, I've undergone two knee replacements. My body isn't what it used to be. Yeah. I got arthritis in my feet. So I ordered those shoes, and then I put the word out to some of my, I just put it on Facebook. Hey, look at these cool shoes. And a number of my friends said, hey, those are cool. So then that led to several of us, we all get these shoes and we could get together for a hike somewhere, because we're scattered all over the country.
I love them.
Yeah. And so, yeah, let's do that. So then I formed this Facebook group, called it the Trail Sisters. And lo and behold, there were about 35, 40 women that said, yeah, I want to be a part of this. And so that's how it came to be. It was a picture of a pair of shoes that triggered it for me. Like, I want to get reconnected with some of these people that have been an important part of my life. And so, and a lot of them, one of the women, 40 years ago, she was on the trail with me as a sophomore in high school. And so here I am. She's brought her daughter, and the intergenerational group going on. Yeah, it's really cool. When I formed the group and we had our first adventure 2 years ago, mm-hmm. west up the snowy range.
Cool.
Yeah. I knew everybody.
Uh-huh.
And a few people knew some of the others.
Yeah.
But nobody knew everybody. And most of them had never met before. Okay. But what we all had in connection, we'd all had a 4-H high adventure experience over the years. And it was just like, they were never strangers to each other. We had that commonality, a connection there. Yeah. It was really cool.
Really? That's really special. I feel like Merrill needs to sponsor you and send everybody a free pair of your shoes.
I think that'd be awesome. Yeah.
I will tell them. I don't have any connections there, but I love that you have kept in touch over the years. And that just goes to show you how, or show us all, how important those friendships that mm-hmm. we make when we're on an adventure are. Because I think when we're outside with other women, it's like no one cares what car you drive, how big your house is, what you do for a living. None of that stuff matters. What matters is just this sense of community and friendship.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And you know that you can count on those people.
Yeah.
You know you can trust them and they'll do what needs to be done. And we'll jump in and take the initiative to do it. As a volunteer, I work with, now that I've retired, I do a lot of volunteer work. And so I've encountered a number of situations where you can't, there's not that trust level. There's not that trust. And even in our work world, you professionally, we encounter other colleagues that you just like, we don't have that deep set connection, that relationship, which is important for having a strong organization, a strong program, company, whatever it is. It's got to have trust and trust.
I love that you said the word trust. Mm. That's an important word. Pat, can you give us a little sneak peek about what you're going to be presenting at our summit?
Okay. Well, if I knew, and this one's been a hard one for me because, because I'm like, well, I don't have anything to share. I'm not a true outdoorsman woman. But I look at, all the other presenters, the pictures, and the look of Annabelle. I'm the only one at this point in time that I could see has gray, silver hair and wrinkles. Everybody is, they're vibrant. And, yeah.
Love, though. You bring this different perspective.
Yeah. Well, what's really, and this is the way I operate. You know, when this came about, one of my trail sisters, Pam, who lives in Hutchinson, who knows all the state parks are the places for your sister to go. She put it out on our Facebook page. Hey, Pat, you need to be a speaker for this. And I go, I don't have anything to, what would be my story? Oh, you have stories to tell. And so, okay. And but as it has evolved, I'm going to approach it as this is not just my story, but our story. How we all came together. What was the drawing? What was the, why did they respond to this picture of shoes? My plan is, and thanks to my son-in-law, who he's going to take the lead on putting together the video, but want to incorporate snippets from some of the other trail sisters. Response to some questions that I'm going to be asking of them. Can have, of course, some photos. And a few maybe slides, if you will, photos of data, but I'm not a PowerPoint person. Never have been good at that, watching or creating. But the story would be basically, how do you go about building this community and maintaining a community of relationships through the years? No matter how many years.
Yeah.
Connect the dots and how rich you can be. So, I'm 76 now. I'm only the way I describe it, I'm halfway to 152. So, I still have a good ways to go.
Yes, you do.
I guess I haven't retired yet from bringing people together. And that's going to be my story, is you find the people, bring them together, utilize their skills, their expertise, their, whatever. I don't know it all.
Yeah.
Collectively we do. And getting us, that comfortable environment where you can share it and spread the word. So we've got kids, some of the teens, they were teens then. Mm-hmm. They have children. Several of the women have grandchildren. Like, okay, we've got the third generation here that we're working on. Yeah. So that's in a nutshell. Yeah. Bringing people together, a diverse group, intergenerational, keeping the spirit going.
I can't wait to hear your presentation.
Oh my gosh.
We're all going to be standing up and cheering and crying. I think it's going to be very powerful and moving.
Oh gosh.
No pressure at all.
No pressure.
I'm so thankful for women like Pat who are trailblazers, really women who just did such remarkable things that has made my life easy as a woman in the outdoor industry. Now. And I loved talking with Pat, and I'm really excited about her presentation. And if you want to learn more about our upcoming virtual conference, the Hike Like Woman Summit, if you want to learn more about what Pat does, if you want to learn more about what I do, please head on over to our website, hikelikewoman.com, click that summit link, and you can check it out. Thanks so much, and I'll catch you next time.